The Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, the rise and fall of Tony O'Reilly, social media magnate Niall Harbison, and the pitfalls of showing your true colours in work. You can contact us by text to 51551, phone 1850 715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first this morning, we're joined by a woman who has played a pivotal role in the central bank for the last few years. As Director of Credit Institutions and Insurance Supervision, she gained quite a bit of attention for her criticism of the way mortgage lenders were dealing with indebted homeowners. Fiona Muldoon left her position at the central bank in May of this year, and she joined me now. You're very welcome to the programme, Fiona. Before talking about your experience at the central bank, you weren't a career regulator or a public servant. You were in the private sector for many years.
Good morning, Richard. That's right. I had worked all of my career in the private sector and had been abroad for most of the noughties, and we were coming home, and I suppose like everybody else, I could see what had happened in the Irish economy, and I thought rather than sitting on the sidelines giving out about it, I thought that this experiences I had and the skill set that I had might be of help, and I decided to apply for a job in the central bank, and that's how I came to work there.
Was it a very big change from the private sector to regulation?
Yes, indeed it was. It was a very big shift.
In what way?
In lots of different ways. I suppose in the private sector, you're paid for results, you're paid for getting the job done. The nature of the work in the public sector is very different. In many instances, you're held to a higher standard. You can't make a mistake, and that tends to affect the culture in some respects. And also, I suppose you're working for the public good, and that indeed was what had attracted me to it in the first instance. You're working for with different objectives, and you're working around legislation and policy implementation, and you're working with the legislature and government. So it is the nature of the job is indeed very, very different.
What about the culture of the central bank that you went into? It was obviously in a state of change, and big change was needed because there had been huge failings in the past. How did you find the culture?
I suppose I would describe the culture of the bank as working for the public good. As I've said, it was collegiate, it was learned, it was, I suppose, friendly. But I think in the past, too, it may have been quite hierarchical and at times a bit rigid. And I suppose even
Is it still like that? Do you think it's still like that?
I think it's a huge job to change the culture of an organisation. So what I would say is all that the pieces are in place, and we've worked very hard to get those pieces in place and to reform and have an assertive risk-based supervision, as we talk about. But that's a work in progress, and it will take some years to embed that.
So it is still quite hierarchical then?
I think that I would have worked very hard to try and break that down in my area, but I think we would recognise the team that was there, the people that I worked with would have recognised the faults and tried to fix them. I don't think that fix is an overnight fix.
So we get the impression that Patrick Holohan, the governor of the central bank, did a very fine report where he talked about the culture and the cultural failings of the organisation in the past, and we get the impression that it's fully staffed with highly qualified new people, you know, like yourself, brought in from, you know, the private sector, and it's totally fixed, is it?
I don't think anybody would claim perfection, and I think that Patrick's report marked the beginnings of a journey, and I think that the central bank is still on that journey. I don't think anyone within the bank would claim that they have perfection or have it all sorted out, and that work in progress. I mean, there is many people brought in. There's many people still there who've been there a long time. They were very patient with me when I joined, explaining the ropes, explaining how things worked. But I think, in fairness, we would work very hard, for instance, on the assertive piece and on speaking up and on all of those issues and how to be assertive with each other, how to challenge each other and be challenged in return. And I think that There's a lot of vacancies in the bank. There's a major recruitment campaign underway. And if I was asked, would I recommend it as a place to work? I suppose I would say yes. But that you have to go in with your eyes open and understand that, you know, there is a difference in the nature of the work.
You mentioned the word hierarchical and about assertive. And when I think of hierarchical, I think of a very static, from the top down culture that doesn't encourage people to speak up and to be assertive. And in a way, that was one of the failings within the organisation in the past. Are you saying that hasn't evolved enough? People are still not encouraged enough to be assertive?
I would have worked very hard, and many of my colleagues would have worked very hard to encourage people to speak up. I would have felt that I led by example in that. For instance, I would have said things that I suppose that would have marked me out as somebody who was willing to speak up. And I think that the bank, as I say, is aware of its pluses and its negatives, and it's working hard on those. I'm not here, I suppose, to apologise for the central bank. I had a very good team around me who were very patient with me, and we would to teach me the ropes. And I think I brought something to that too, where I brought a sense of commercial new, and I suppose I also brought a sense of, you know, standing up and saying what it was the facts and the figures showed, rather than being to politic all the time. And I suppose that is a thing that regulation needs, and the failure of regulation in the past showed that. But we need to be politically tone deaf around some of the issues.
Did that approach that you would have taken, which is part of your background from the private sector and personality and approach things, do you think that made you stick out within the organisation? Were you a bit of a renegade? Were you going against the tide or the culture of the organisation?
Well, I certainly didn't join to preserve the status quo, and I certainly had very little interest in that. I mean, one of the reasons I was joining was that I had read what had been publicly said by Patrick, by Matthew Elderfield, and I was very interested in what the organisational change piece and in the cultural piece and in the agenda that was there, the strategic change in direction that was underway. So that was certainly, when I joined, my main objective in joining.
I remember you speaking at an Irish Bankers Federation conference 2 years ago, and you shocked and upset quite a lot of bankers in the room. I think you described them as akin to problem teenagers. And one of the things you said was that they need less of this sort of humility and more courage to actually go and get busy fixing things. And you also said a culture of leadership is missing in Irish banking. It was a very blunt message for them. They weren't used to it. I think it didn't go down too well among the banking community.
I suppose it was frank. And I suppose it was my first time to speak to the bankers, and I went into their conference, and I suppose I had the element of surprise, didn't I? They hadn't heard from me before, and I had decided to call it. We had people at the time like Bill Clinton, who had come here and talked about mortgage arrears and about the crisis that was looming. And indeed, there was a lot of focus and concern at that time in the central bank about why more wasn't being done to fix the operational capability within the banks. That there had been a sense that this was looming and that the banks weren't prepared for it. So I had decided that I was going to call it as I saw it and not worry too much about the fallout from that.
How did the bluntness of the language in your message go down with your colleagues in the central bank?
I think many of my colleagues were very supportive, and indeed many of the people I was quite new at that time. I got a lot of email messages, a lot of support from people I was working with to say well done, and that I had articulated something that we had all been very concerned about. So I didn't, there was a lot of media fallout and that from it, but I think it moved the thing along, and that was my main objective.
Well, one of the big things that landed a punch, I suppose, of that was the bluntness of the language. It's not the kind of language that we're used to hearing from people in the central bank. Is there a central bank speak that you would have come across that wasn't your approach?
I think that's certainly true, that the frank, straightforward language maybe isn't what we would associate the central banker with. But I would draw a distinction between central banking and the financial stability remit, where, you know, European central banks, and they're setting the interest rate and they have to be very subtle and very nuanced in the language. I would draw a distinction between that and the job of prudential regulation. And prudential regulation and dealing directly with the firms that you're regulating, judging the risk and having them mitigate it, requires a certain straightforwardness. And the better firms all recognise that. They don't want an ambiguous message.
That straightforward thing, Fiona, I know from talking to people who worked in the central bank over the years, and part of the problem was that they didn't sometimes stand up to senior executives in the banks, and that if they had a problem with something, instead of picking up the phone to the banker and saying, what's all this about, we better sort this out, they'd have a meeting and maybe a carefully worded letter would be sent, and then a carefully worded letter would be sent back and nothing would actually be done. Has that changed?
Yes, I would say that is a change that is definitely there, that's the piece when we, I suppose that's the piece that assertive risk-based supervision, that's what it means. It means being able to articulate and call out the risk and ask for it to be fixed. And I think the central bank would work very, very hard on that piece and on training the teams and on the management teams and the teams underneath them around how to do that and how to do it well. I wouldn't claim perfection. I don't think the bank would claim perfection, but I think that has improved.
The IMF recently cautioned that perhaps the central bank isn't independent enough from government because there's a Department of Finance official on the commission. What do you think?
I think that it is a very tough job, regulation. And I think that, as I say, I'm not here to you know, defend or apologise for the central bank in any way. But I think that being politically tone deaf to some extent is an important part of the job, and not being influenced by whatever.
Is it sufficiently tone deaf?
Well, I think banking supervision going to Europe, and I think all of that continues, it takes it away from the subtleties and the politics locally, and I think it'll be regulated from Frankfurt under banking union. And I think,
but
that
prior to that happening, do you think the situation over the last 3 years while you were there, was it sufficiently independent and separate?
I think that it steered a steady course on that, Richard, as best it could.
That sounds like central bank speaking
now, Fiona. No, I think I'm saying yes, I feel it was independent. I don't feel that anybody interfered with the decisions I was making, for instance.
What about your own decision to leave? Why did you leave?
I suppose I left because, I mean, we've covered why I joined. I wasn't the most natural central banker in many respects, and I felt I'd done my bit. I came to help, and I had done almost 3 years. There was a new Matthew Elderfield was leaving and a new guy was starting, and it just felt like a natural break, and I decided that it was time, so I called it.
Would you consider staying with the public sector, or will you look to the private sector?
I think that I probably feel I've done my bit in the public sector, so I don't know. I mean, the governor is very anxious that I take a rest. I think he doesn't want to see me show up too soon any place, so I'm happy to go along with that and wait and see. I haven't ever in my career taken a long period of time off, so I'm determined to take my rest and think about it carefully. But I think if I was a betting woman, I'd probably say more likely to see me back in the private sector someplace.
You would have been widely tipped as someone to succeed Matthew Elderfield. How did you feel when that didn't happen, or would that have influenced why you decided to leave?
I think, you know, that was an interesting experience. The governor had been very public about the fact that he felt that it was an outsider for a lot of the reasons that I'm talking about, so that it wouldn't be subject to influence and interference. And so I think maybe internally we did not feel the same sense of expectation as maybe, you know, what was written in the newspapers and whatnot. So a very public process that, again, would be very different from the private sector. If you go for a job in the private sector and you don't get it, nobody knows about it. So all part of a rich learning experience of working in the bank. But
if you look back at the central bank over the 3 years or so that you have been there, if you had to give the organisation a scorecard, because it clearly had to change quite a lot.
Yes.
What would you give it?
I would give it a solid B plus. I think it has worked very hard, and I think it...
Is that enough?
I think that under the circumstances, given the scale of the change it had to make, given all of the work that was ahead of it, and given the fact that we had the IMF in and the Troika and all of everything else that was going on at the time, I think that, we can be quietly okay with that. You know, I think that, as long as we have the courage and the tenacity to continue with it, I think there's many, many good people there who are working hard at making it a safe for the future.
Okay, well, Fiona Muldoon, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.